It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, July 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The music streaming service wars continue, and Google has got itself a new weapon. New York-based startup Songzo was bought this week by the tech giant for the relatively low tech price of $39 million. Songzo is an interesting company. Instead of using algorithms to build playlists for people to listen to, it uses humans, you know, like the olden days. Ben Popper is at The Verge. He says Google's purchase is the recognition of a continuing problem.
What Google has now is a huge library of songs, 25 million tracks to choose from. But the problem for most people is deciding, what do I want to listen to now?
And it turns out humans are still actually sometimes better at catering to your workout or your work shift than computers. But also worth pointing out, it's not just about the mix, man. Songza also gets millions of people to tell it what they're doing all the time. And Google thinks that behavioral data is valuable. Speaking of data, more and more we're starting to see how big data is being used in cities. There's a new startup called Bridge, that's B-R-I-D-J. It's basically a pop-up bus service in the Boston area. The fare costs $5 to $8, which it's worth noting is a premium price compared to the $2 price tag of regular public transit in the area. But Matt George, the founder of Bridge, thinks that this is part of the transportation patchwork of our future. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so describe how you're using this mobile information for Bridge specifically.
When we go into a city like Boston, we crunch up to 100 million data points sort of over the course of a couple months, where people are living, where people are working, when they're traveling from home to work. So we get data from about 19 different data streams, everything from social media data all the way down to census data, municipal data, and we sort of mash it all together to come up with one cohesive model of how a city moves. We make a prediction of about the first 40 routes that we think are, based on the data, the most popular.
Where do you want to see this go?
So right now, we are designing routes that are relatively static. What we're going to be introducing later in the year is, let's say there is a Bon Jovi concert somewhere in one of the New Jersey stadiums. We know that people are tweeting about going to that one concert. We know that people are posting to Facebook about going to the concert. So what we're able to do is predict a mass transportation need and for a day or two put in place networks that may not exist at any other time during the year.
What are some of the challenges that face your company?
One thing that we thought would be a bigger challenge is municipal cooperation. So we figured that it would be a really big uphill battle to sort of get municipalities on board with providing what to them is a relatively novel transportation option, which is not something that communities typically move quickly to embrace. But especially in Massachusetts, we've been sort of embraced with open arms in providing a new and third way of folks to get around the city.
Matt George is the founder and CEO of Bridge. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, I know. The U.S. team lost in the knockout round of the World Cup. I am also sad. Good game, though. But you got to feel bad for the Russian team. Their tie with Algeria was part of their demise, and the Algerian game-tying score happened right after a corner kick when someone used a piece of small technology to mess with the goalie. Here's our friend Cyrus Farivar at Ars Technica.
During a corner, somebody from the stands fired a laser pointer at the Russian goalie, and the goal went in. Algeria scored its only goal off of that corner kick.
The Russian coach referred to this, basically saying this sort of thing interfered with the goalkeeper's ability to stop the goal.
Yeah, and there have been numerous incidents reported around Europe where fans have fired lasers at players during games and in some cases have received jail time as long as 3 months.
I know also some of the teams have been fined when their fans specifically have been caught shooting lasers at players.
Right. But I think what's interesting here is FIFA, the governing body that governs world soccer, has banned laser pointers from stadiums. But generally speaking, they're so small And, you know, unless you're really looking for it, I would imagine it would be relatively easy to get one into the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, these things are like, what, the size of half of a cigarette?
Yeah, so like a normal cheap laser pointer would be, I would say, yeah, comparable to the size of a cigarette. A more powerful one would be a bit bigger, maybe the size of a flashlight.
I won't debate with you whether this laser really messed up the Russian goalie, but this is a larger concern for aircraft, right?
That's exactly right. So here in the U.S., the federal government has taken an increasingly hard line against people who fire lasers at aircraft. It can cause temporary blindness in pilots. So I've actually ridden with the Fresno Police Department helicopter pilot, and he analogized it to driving down a country road late at night where somebody is coming at you in a car.
With the high beams on?
Exactly, with the high beams on. So maybe you're blinded for 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds. Now, it's important to keep in mind that there have been zero incidents of serious injury, zero crashes. But this is what the government is worried about. And so there's been increasing numbers of prosecutions, particularly here in California. There was a guy earlier this year who was sentenced to 16 years in prison.
Whoa.
You know, this is a very serious issue, and the FBI has even issued a bounty of $10,000 if you come forward with information leading to the prosecution of somebody who fires a laser at an aircraft.
All right, Cyrus Farivar, senior business editor at Ars Technica. Cyrus, thank you, man.
My pleasure.
And before we go, my colleague and Marketplace host Kai Rizdal had an interview with President Barack Obama this week. You can hear that conversation this evening on Marketplace, and you can find parts of it before that on marketplace.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.